Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Oh, well, the slings and arrows of outrageous modern media striking us down a little bit again tonight, but we're going to get it, man. For those of you that are subscribers on our website, philhendryshow.com, our video cast tonight, as well as our radio show, will be available on demand tomorrow on our website. For those of you listening live on radio and really don't care what it is I'm referring to right now, don't worry about it. Just to our subscribers, we have installed, as you know, the opportunity to live stream our show to all devices, including Apple devices, and we are having a difficult time again tonight. If I had Karen Deauville here, which I don't.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, well, you guys don't get along.
Yeah, you're the only one don't get along. I think Karen Deauville's pretty...
Well, that's fine, bud. No one, you don't need to weigh in.
Anyway, welcome to the program. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night. Truth is our bitch. Somebody asked on our Facebook page, what does truth is our bitch mean? They didn't get that. And I said to them, it means we own it. And I'm sure they were thinking, where do you get off making a claim like that? Well, the same reason the Rolling Stones call themselves the world's greatest rock and roll band. Of course, they're not.
We talk about they're not. I mean, you're kidding me. The Rolling Stones are not the greatest. Yeah, they sold a lot of records.
That doesn't mean they're the greatest. It means they've sold a lot of records.
Yeah.
Who's the greatest rock and roll band, bud?
The greatest rock and roll band is Slipknot. You know that. You know that as well as I do. Everyone knows that Slipknot.
I never even heard of Slipknot, man.
All right, you think it's Slipknot. Robert?
I don't listen to that.
You listen to hip-hop?
No.
Well, what do you listen to?
Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole. Margaret?
Wait a minute. You listen to Nat King Cole?
I listen to Nat King Cole as the four top. I listen to R&B.
Well, you and I have similar tastes, Robert. You like that... I know what you like, that Junior Wells album that I have.
Yeah, I like Junior Wells, or like Charlie Musso. I like all that.
All right, Margaret, how about you?
Well, you know me. I love the classics. I love Richard. I love the show. I don't like to pin it down. I like music, but I don't want to say I like all music because I don't. I despise some music. The music I like is very floral. It's visual. So I must like music that's visual.
What does that mean?
It means when the music that I like is played, it can only be performed with extensive visual effects.
What?
Phil, did you ask me a question?
Yeah.
Did you ask me a question? I gave you an answer. The music that I like must be performed with extensive visual effects. All right?
Well, where do you listen to? Do you listen to this music?
Are you putting me on with a question like that?
Do you listen to the music?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Excuse me, I'll get to you in a minute. What's your question?
Do you listen to it?
Of course I listen to it.
Well then, if you listen to it, are there extensive visual effects when you're listening to it?
Phil, what I resent is when you start...
Margaret, don't judge me as I'm asking the question. I'm just asking the question.
Yes, but as you ask the question, you're waving your arms about. You're looking for sympathy from these two. If your video cast worked tonight, and thank God that it doesn't, otherwise the audience would see you looking for sympathy at them, and I sit here as if I've just had a bucket of filth, of human filth, poured on me.
I wouldn't go that far, okay?
No, you wouldn't, but that's how I feel.
All right, I'm just asking you.
Yes?
You heard what he said. He said the music you hear... Does it have to be performed with a visual effect?
You know, the visual effect I'd like right now, bud, is you being pushed off of a cliff.
That is very horrible to say.
Why would you say something like that?
He's bugging me.
Yeah, the visual effect that I have.
Oh, forget it, will you?
All right. So, in other words, you like show music. I think I finally got it.
Hey! Give him a cigar. What a great... Finally, you get it. Boy, you can lead a horse to water, as they say, but you sure as hell... Can't allow... It won't save itself.
That ain't how it goes.
What do you mean? You can lead a horse to water, but it won't save itself.
Yes, meaning you.
That doesn't make any sense. You know...
All right, bud, stop it. Okay, no more weighing in. I'm having the conversation here. Thank you very much. Welcome to the show. God. It's a nutty week. It's been a nutty week. It will continue to be a nutsy cuckoo week. But I'm telling you right now, we are going to continue to press ahead regardless. And if nothing else, if you are joining us online at philhendryshow.com, all of our media is on demand on all devices. It is available all platforms, all quasi-platforms, all piers, all docks, all soapboxes, whatever you want to call it, okay?
Yeah, well, that, I think that's about right, Phil. I think, you, to be honest with the audience, you do provide a platform, but your platform is more like a broken pier, you know, where if you're walking out onto Phil's platform and you go through one of the broken slats and you go in the water, hello, you know.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean, doo-doo-doo. Do-do, a do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and then the girl's head is being pulled back and forth.
Oh, thank you very much for that vote of confidence. So, in other words, when you're walking out on Phil Henry's platform and you go through, you're eaten by Jaws.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting the way she put it anyway.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Henry program, getting more world-famous by the second. Now, I've lost my glasses, and without them, I'm a blind man. I'm a stone-cold blind man. I'm like that guy in the Bible, the Sam Jaffe character. You remember the guy in that movie where he said, I'm blind, and he's deaf and dumb, but between us, we make a formidable man.
What are you babbling about now?
I forget. Hold on, as I look for my glasses, I've got Alex now. Everybody in the studio is looking for them. They have fallen twixt the cracks of my existence.
Excuse me.
Mr. Hawk call about that.
You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. David, if you're listening, and I know you're probably calling in right now, I didn't mean to say betwixt the cracks of my existence. We are going to be talking tonight a couple of things. One of them, Burger King is selling horse meat. What is that?
No. They're not selling horse meat. They're selling it to the French. Okay, so you got that all wrong. They're not selling horse meat. They're selling to the French. Again, they're not selling horse...
Would you stop, bud? Did you just say they're selling horse meat to the French?
Yeah, so they're not selling any.
Yeah. Well, yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Well, yeah, to the French.
That don't count?
Well, not really. I mean, they always...
The French always ate that, bud.
Who did?
The French. They always eat horse meat. I mean, you they ate snail. I mean...
Yeah, are you gonna quibble and make you're gonna split hairs over the fact the French are now eating horse meat? They've been eating snails all these years.
They're not eating snails, God. Oh, you know nothing of fine cuisine.
Margaret, try not to impress us this early with your continental tastes. Just hold on for a minute.
I'm trying to educate these two here, that and that.
I get it. But what I'm saying is I just want to... Is this the story, right?
Yeah.
All right, so the French... are being sold this horse meat. I almost said hort meat, or...
You almost said whore meat, and that is... Ugh.
No, I didn't almost say that. Who's this?
David.
Oh, for God's sake. You know, David...
What do you mean, for God's sake? You're the one that said something slipped up your crack.
No, I did not, and I knew you were going to call, and I knew that you were going to misinterpret it.
David, I'm the one that David asked me... to keep an eye on this.
All I heard was that my glasses have slipped through the crack of my something or other, and then the line went dead.
What do you mean the line went dead?
The listen line. Every night I'm listening, I'm monitoring your program, and if I hear anything that's wrong, obviously I can go ahead and hit the signal to Bud so that he's able to break in and put me on the air. That's how we do that. And last night, I don't know what happened last night, but I can share, but if we have that signal available...
Yeah, I got it right now.
All right, what I do is I've got a remote here in the car. Hold up, baby. I'm not driving, by the way, Phil, so don't think that I'm drinking and driving. I'm in a limousine. Yeah. Hold the can. Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Well, here we are. He's out on a date.
Yeah, that's right. I'm out on a date. I got a life. Hold it. Hold the can. The can of beer that I'm handing. All right, now, if I hear you say something like it slipped through the cracks of my, you know what? Hear that? That is my signal to call. And,
So you've got a harp?
I can't hear you.
You've got a harp that plays?
No, I don't play the harp.
I said, do you have a harp that's a signal?
It's a signal, yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. The signal is a harp.
Hold on, I'm sorry, Phil. Hold on. The can of beer that I just gave you, baby, put it between your legs then. I know you're doing your makeup. I got my girlfriend. She's doing her makeup. She's doing my makeup. What? Well, you're a pain in the ass, too. I'm sorry, Phil. All right. So when you say something...
What did I say tonight that got the signal to go off?
The signal didn't go off. That's what I mean.
Yeah, Mr. Hall hits the signal.
So you're the guy that hits the signal?
No, the little man that lives in my pocket. Yes, I'm the guy that hits the signal. And then when I hit the signal, Bud then interrupts the program, wherein I can then come on the air, and I can tell you what's wrong with the show. And, you know, as you know, Phil, on any given night, there's all kinds of stuff that's wrong with it. Now, if you do anything racist, bring a pot six. If you do anything racist, I hit a remote, and that is the gong.
And the gong is the Chinese gong.
Exactly. So Bud will know then that, you know, I want to talk to you about if you said something bad about black people. Now,
hold on, let me ask you something. Why is it...
Hold on. The can of beer that I just gave you, where is it? Where's the can of beer? Hey, Rudy, I'm sorry, Phil.
David, I'm going to hang the phone up.
No, hold on. Wait, Rudy, where's that can of beer that I just... She said she gave it to you.
Is that Rudy Canosa?
Who?
Rudy Canosa?
Who's he?
I just thought maybe...
Rudy Canosa not going to be driving a limousine.
That's a little insulting to Rudy. Why would he be driving a limousine?
I don't know who that guy is. The can of beer that I just gave...
Will you forget the can of beer and talk to me?
Wow, what an ass. Boy, that's too bad. Haul out.
See, this is what he does.
Yeah, but he was calling in to tell you all about the signal.
I don't care, man. He calls in, he disrupts the show, he insults me, he makes a mockery of everything, and then when I finally lose my temper, he hangs up. See, this has been my problem. This is my problem.
Well, we know it's your problem, Phil.
No, but I'm letting out... My whole life, this has been it. My whole life, I put up with enough, and I put up with enough, and then when I finally flip out... Everybody gets upset with me for flipping out, and nobody remembers what happened that caused me to flip out.
I remember, Mr. Henry.
Thank you, Robert. What happened?
What happened what?
What
happened tonight?
You remember what happened that caused me to get angry?
Yes, sir, I do.
What was it?
Okay.
Well, this ought to be good.
Hold on. What was it, Robert?
Well, I don't know now. I do. I've got it in my notes.
Got it in your notes.
What are you getting upset for?
Yeah, what are you getting all upset for? See, that scares people.
Oh, I bet it does. I'm telling you that tonight, when David called in, all I'd said was that my glasses had slipped down the crack of existence. I didn't say anything about the crack of my you-know-what. He calls in because he fired off his, whatever, his racist signal or his...
No, that would have been a different signal entirely. That's dirt. It's a dirty... It's called the dirty.
Oh, is it called the dirty? Boy,
But what's so funny?
They have to have... What are you laughing at?
Just how asinine all of this is. And so I got upset because this guy is talking to his girlfriend. Where's the can of beer? You know, this, that, and something else. And I finally flip out, and he calls me an ass, hangs up on me, and the audience is left with the impression that I've got a bad temper and that I'm a guy that just can't be, you know, dealt with. So let's take a break. There's one guy in this world I can deal with. It's Dan Northcraft, who hasn't bothered me once to say, Phil, we're about 3 minutes late for our break. Thank you, Dan. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Talking about
the Phil Henry Show.
Joe,
look at
me quiet. You're so angry.
Welcome back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's a Friday night, and, you know, I got stuff to do. I got places to go and people to see, man. There's only one thing I don't have.
You got your glasses.
I don't have my glasses. And you're blind without the glasses. Now, I'm not going to say anything about them slipping through the cracks of civilization or whatever I said.
No, you said they slipped into the crack of your...
I did not.
Oh, come on. Don't fight that fight again, man. You're down that road.
What is it with you? I didn't say they slipped through the crack of existence.
Well, what does that mean, really?
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point.
No, that doesn't. That's not a good point. When I say something and I say it means something, that's the end, man. We don't need to have anybody asking any more questions. We don't have to. No need to interpret. If I say that my glasses slipped through the crack of existence, what are you looking at?
You said craft. Right.
Then what I mean is they slipped into another dimension. They did not slip down my pants into the crack of my you-know-what, okay?
Well, Phil, why are you being so graphic?
I don't believe I'm being graphic. I think you were the guys that started this down the graphic road.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good point, because Mr. Henry was saying You know,
why are we arguing about this?
You don't have your glasses, so you can't read the news story, so we might as well keep talking about this. When you say the crack of existence, Phil, the mind goes to...
Mind goes to the crack?
The mind goes to the crack. Does it really? Do adult minds? Do adult minds that listen to talk radio? Do they do that?
You yourself have said people that listen to talk... Well, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Well, you said people listen to talk radio... It's like they had a severe concussion.
What? You're lying now, man.
Well, you did say something like that.
No, I did not.
You said that people that listen to talk radio have the same mentality of an individual that's had a large piece of their brain removed as the result of a rampant tumor. Now, that doesn't mean that they're quote-unquote stupid. It does mean, though, that in some cases the IQ drops precipitously. And so with...
All right, okay, thank you very much. No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
I must have misheard you.
Yeah, that's right, you misheard me. You misheard me. You thought I was saying a large chunk of the brain. All I was saying is there's some people that listen to talk radio and don't really listen, okay? They don't really absorb, and they don't just take it in like they're a piece of Bounty towel, like a sponge, like maybe even a mop, like maybe even a dirty mop that sits in the garage.
That's it. You call people a dirty mop in a garage.
Okay, well, that's more accurate. Now, welcome back to the program. As I mentioned, there is a scandal afoot. It's not a big scandal, but if you eat fast food, it sure is one hell of a scandal. And that is that Burger King has announced, yeah, sure, we sell horse meat. What are you going to do about it? No, they didn't say that. They said, though, or they admitted, that they do sell horse meat in their Whoppers and other items. Now, I will tell you that the Whopper has been one of my favorite hamburgers for 40 years, literally. 41 years, because I can remember when I first ate a Whopper. It was when I was working as a kennel boy at an animal hospital in Temple City, California. And I would take my lunch break, and I'd go up the street to the Burger King, and I would either get a couple of Whoppers or a couple of Whalers.
What about a couple? You got a Whaler and a Whopper.
What about a Whammy?
Why don't you quit trying to be funny, okay? The Whopper is the hamburger, the Whaler.
Yes, the Whaler is the fish sandwich.
Yeah, which they don't call it a Whaler anymore. They call it a BK fish, and I think it's because it's a smaller... The Whaler used to be this enormous fish patty. Delicious. I love those fish sandwiches. I just love them.
Well, don't squeal it, Phil.
Yeah, got a little bit that way.
Sorry.
You went, I love him.
No, I didn't.
Well, I sort of did, Mr. We're not trying to interrupt you.
You know, I'm going to... So, in any event, I used to love the Whalers, and I used to love the Whoppers, and ate them religiously. And the only time that I finally was put off of eating the Whopper and the Whaler and the whatever else they've got...
I think that's it.
Okay, is when I had eaten a Whaler, and this was now a Whaler from a Burger King, not in Temple City, California, but it was a Whaler from a Burger King in Orlando, Florida. And I was much older. Maybe that has something to do with the fact that when I came home from that Burger King, I was covered in hives. All right?
What are those?
Like a rash.
It's a rash. It's a rash you get when you're allergic to something. Now, I was itching, and I was hopping around the house that I shared with my girlfriend like a madman with this red rash all over me.
Oh, what a sight.
It must have been a sight. I'm telling you, I was just like, man, I can't take it. So I literally had to go to the emergency room, you know.
You went to the emergency room with an itch? I'm sure the doctor would probably go, where's the itch in your butt?
And you stop trying to be funny, too, because both of you guys are hitting some real clunkers, okay?
Sorry.
So in any event, I went into the emergency room, and the doctor was there, and he said, well, Mr. Henry, it seems to me that you've got an allergic, what did you eat? And I said, I had a Whaler. He said, aha. He said, fish. Fish does it.
Did he really go? Did he go, aha?
No, but I mean, in my mind, that's what he did, you know, because as I think back at that moment, when I said, yeah, I had a Whaler, I can just see the doctor going, aha, you know. Speaking of that, we do have on Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego. Dr. Sadler is a psychiatrist, mostly, though, a pharmacology... I don't know how you say it, Dr. Sadler, the field that you're involved in.
Thank you, Phil. It is psychopharmacology.
Yeah, that's it. Psychopharmacology. And tell people, please, what that is.
Psychopharmacology is, and I'm hearing music.
I'm sorry, we got to go to a break.
I asked you not...
Hold on, Doc.
All right. I asked you not to bring me on.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler in a moment.
Going to a break because it makes me look like an ass. The biggest ass since Oprah Winfrey.
Sorry about that, Doc.
I didn't mean to do that.
I'm sitting here toweling egg off my face.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. Tonight, though, we are, again, experiencing those problems, streaming problems. I don't even think tomorrow we'll have a video cast for you. So, yeah, this is a problem.
Phil, it's Dr. Sadler.
Go ahead.
I'm listening to you talking about, I hate to say this, are you a professional broadcaster?
What is that supposed to mean?
I think it's a very good question.
No, I don't mean... It sounds to me like you're running some sort of an operation there.
Yes, I'm a professional broadcaster.
Well, you know, it's... Oh, we can't get this fixed, and that's not working. And it sounds like when I... You know, when you were a kid, you'd put on a show for the neighborhood, you know?
And yes, I'm a professional broadcaster. We're dealing with a series of technologies here and applications which are, quite frankly, as a smaller operation, you know, we're not a big network.
I can tell that.
Okay, look, Dr. Sal, the reason why I called you, all right?
Well, I'll answer your questions. I just wanted to get the lay of the land, you know?
Yeah, he's just trying to get a lay of the land.
No, is that what he's trying to do, the lay of the land? Oh, okay.
Yes, Phil. Well, don't get resentful because Dr. Sadler is simply trying to get the lay of the land.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
All right, so I think we've established you're trying to get the...
Hey, Phil, there comes a time when you laugh in the middle of a very nervous situation. It's called a hysteria. And when you say, Dr. Sadler, when you did that, that's a hysteria.
Yeah, I've read about that, Dr. Sadler.
Right, exactly. And when people go, Dr. Sadler, and I've seen this in my practice, and that's why I got into pharmacology, because I would have in my practice, when I was doing psychotherapy, which Margaret had asked me about earlier.
What I was asking you, Dr. Sadler, was when you were doing psychotherapy, what were the most extreme cases?
Yeah, well, exactly. And what happened for me... was there would be these extreme cases of you're in the middle of psychoanalyzing someone and they begin to go into this sort of hysterical reaction, or they start to go into a sort of a quasi-hypnagogic state.
Now, what is hypnagogic?
That's a hypnagogic?
Yes, hypnagogic. Who was asking the question there?
I am.
And who's me?
This is Phil Henry.
Well, who is the other gentleman?
That was Robert Leonard.
All right. Well, hypnagogic means, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to, you know.
Get the lay of the land.
Yes. The hypnagogic means that there is a state between sleep and an awakening that is a twilight period. And in the twilight of the hypnagogic state, you are all fuzzy and jacked up. I can't describe it. There's no way to describe it.
Well, doctor, you were in. You went to school.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't there some description?
I went to school. Isn't there some description? And what?
Well, you said you can't describe the hypnagogic state.
It's hard to describe. I just called it hypnagogic, and you didn't know what that meant. So I'm trying to describe what that means. That means.
I know it's between being asleep and being awake.
That is correct.
All right. And what happens?
Well, if someone is in my office and they are between sleep and awakening and they're hypnagogic, I'm going to assume it's because they find me or the atmosphere as very dull and they've just drifted into hypnagogia. I'm pausing because I reflected on just exactly what that means. It hurts a little bit.
I understand.
It just does. It hurts.
Doctor, when you say it hurts, is it because they find you dull?
I think you have to assume that, yes.
Dr. Sanders, this is Bud Dickman?
Yes, Bud.
I would love to come to your office and be psychoanalyzed everything.
Bud, you asked me that before, and you and I had a long conversation about that, and you know as well as I do the reason why you want to come to my office is to avail yourself of some of the drugs. Isn't that right, Bud?
No.
We talked about it. Isn't that right, Bud?
Not really.
Isn't that right, Bud? You wanted to get drugs from Dr. Sadler.
I wanted to get a couple of pills of Adderall.
I'm not a drug dealer, and he says a couple of pills. what a lying retard.
Dr. Sadler, that word is not acceptable on our show, you know?
No, we don't say that here.
Did you know that?
What is that?
You can't saying that word is very offensive. I'd rather you not use that. All right, let's get past Bud Dickman.
I've never been chastised openly for using that word. Could you just tell me why?
Because it is not considered to be any longer an acceptable word for public discourse, especially on a broadcast, on a radio show like this. It is considered offensive in much the same way there's certain racial terms or terms that were, you know, applicable to women. We don't use it.
All right, okay. It's something that we use in our profession all the time.
You use the word in the farmer...
not the farmer.
I didn't say farmer.
It sounded like you said farmer.
I'm sorry, doctor.
Yeah, it did.
I meant in the psychopharmacology field. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, no, in the psychopharmacy... now you've got me saying it. In my field, we use the word retard occasionally as shorthand for someone who isn't paying their bill. Or someone who has double parked outside the office.
Wait. So this is not a term...
Yeah, Phil, I don't want to get bogged down in this, all right? I'm a psychopharmacologist. You introduced the word farmer, and now...
You know, it's interesting to talk to you. You're a psycho...
Zenny's a psycho farmer.
He did not say a psycho farmer. He said a psychopharmacologist.
Thank you very much, Ms. Gray. That's what I said.
But your mind is working. Your mind is so weak that it can't get over the fact that I introduced the word farmer by mistake.
My mind is weak. Is that what I just heard you say?
Well, yeah. That's what you said. I mean, you're saying that you can't get your mind over the fact that I said a psycho farmer.
I'm not a psycho farmer. And that's the part I can't get past. That's the part that drives me ape. Okay?
Better not say ape. You'll get hung up on that.
Oh, why don't you tell that guy, he's the one that got me all in the trouble.
Bud, just be quiet.
He's the one that got me in the trouble, this guy. I didn't say retard. A retard in the psycho farmer, where am I going with this?
Psychopharmacology, isn't that what you do?
Yes, I'm sorry.
What does psycho farmer in the Dell have to do with it?
When I said...
You said psycho farmer in the Dell. Here's the thing that I'm noticing about you, Doc.
Get a load of you. Now, you're going to
psychoanalyze you? Yes. Your mind is so weak that you've got farmer on the brain. Bud introduced the word ape. I'm surprised you haven't used that.
Well, it'll probably happen because you have called my mind weak. You didn't call me weak, but my mind was called that, and I...
And it's a part of you, so you're going to feel for it.
Yes, I'm going to be defensive of my mind. I'm very sorry. Obviously, I haven't had enough sleep, and...
Maybe you should take some of that Adderall that you won't let Bud have.
Yeah, give my two to your mind.
Don't mind if I do. Now, don't you have a break to come up? This is very embarrassing.
Yeah, we've got a break. Hold on.
Man, I tell you, that guy, that Dr. Sadler.
We can't break, man. We're too early for the break.
Well, why can't you go early? You're always late.
That's not how it works. I don't want to go late. And I don't want to go early. I want to get his brain together so that we can continue to talk. Basically, what we wanted to talk to him about, folks, was horse meat in the Burger King Whoppers. Now, what has that got to do with a doctor of psychopharmacology? Well, it's more to the psychiatric end. What is the mindset in America? What is the mindset anywhere that makes us adverse to eating horse meat as opposed to regular beef, regular cow meat, steer meat, if you will? And the mindset may have something to do with the way we've been trained to think horse meat is somehow less flavorful. Maybe it's tougher. Maybe, in fact, we think horse meat is more parasitic or something, whereas regular meat. What would you rather eat, a horse steak or a beef steak?
Beef steak.
You really have to ask that question.
Just, you know, if you were really hungry.
If I was hungry, I'd eat anything.
That's me.
Well, Phil, most people don't go into Burger King starving to death. Most people go into Burger King hungry, yes.
I went there one time I was starving because I'd just done a job. I did a construction job.
Okay, you were really hungry.
I was starving to death.
And if a guy said to you, here is a horse burger, you'd say, okay.
Not necessarily. If he said that's a horse burger, I would say, I'll go to Jack at the Box.
It's not Jack at the Box. Does it matter if he calls it Jack at the Box?
I guess it's not Jack at the Box, bud.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? It's not Jack at the Box. Now, so you'll go to Jack in the Box.
Yeah, well, here's the irony about that. Jack in the Box has horse meat, too, see?
That's right.
Yes, Jack in the Box had the same scandal.
Yeah, they did, but they dealt with it earlier. And my feeling is, if Jack in the Box or Jack in the Box already had the horse meat scandal, and they've cleaned all the horse meat out, and now it's fresh beef. Now I feel more comfortable. Whereas Burger King lied. They've been lying all along. They're serving me a horse burger. Okay. I would feel better if they served up fresh ground raccoon or something like that. Not because I want to eat raccoon, but they'd be honest about it.
They're not going to be honest about something like that.
Who is going to serve you raccoon meat?
I don't know, but if they was honest about it.
Would you eat it?
No.
Then what difference does it make?
I think I'm probably just a perception about a consumer. We say, you know, at least Burger King, honest, they serve up raccoon. And I, you know what, there may be a day, just because I appreciate how honest they have been, there may be a day I will go in and sample it.
I wouldn't sample raccoon.
Never mind, Margaret. We'll be right back here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com.
Truth is a bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I have not said one word about raccoon, and yet I've been labeled a anti-raccoon.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's just a wild night here. Dr. Jim Sadler is on the line with us, Margaret Gray, and, of course, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard joining me. Talking right now about a story that I believe that it was updated. Dan updated us just a moment ago. The story from Burger King is as follows. The horse meat debacle is just not ending. And this is a debacle, by the way, in Ireland. I don't think we've made that very, very clear.
They stabbed over in France, too.
Yeah.
No, it's not in France. It's in Ireland and the United Kingdom. And the story that I have, the word that I've got, Phil, just breaking now...
Margaret, it's not breaking.
I'm making it sound more interesting for an audience that's ready to slit its own throat and bleed itself and hang itself up. Do you understand that we have people out there that want to slaughter themselves as if they're the farmer and the... Never mind.
Why's that?
On account of the boredom of it.
Get out of here with the book. Dr. Sadler, I apologize. You there?
Yes, I'm here, but there's no apology that's going to make right what has happened to me tonight. I can,
We haven't done anything to you other than ask you questions, okay?
Right, but when you said the hypnagogic state is a representation, I guess you didn't say it, but you made me aware of the fact that my patients are bored by me, and that...
All right, let me... Mavis Leonard is joining us from Los Angeles tonight. Mavis is actually the aunt of Robert Leonard. One of our staff. Mavis, how are you this evening?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm very good. Thank you for having me on your program. I believe in good nutrition.
And Mavis, Dr. Jim Sadler is with us.
How you do? Yes, doctor, I've heard you on a program. It's very nice to meet you. I appreciate that very much.
Mavis, we're talking about nutrition tonight. We're talking about Burger King and the fact that Burger King still sells, or at least has traces of horse meat that they sell in Ireland.
Well, I asked Robert about that story, and Robert said it's in Ireland and England. Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, I said Ireland, England, and France.
And he said France. And I looked on the news. I saw that there are no horse meat that has such traffic in France. And I thank God and I thank Jesus for that. I'm going to go to France next month as a whirlwind vacation.
Well, good for you, hon. You're going to go and visit France?
I'm going to visit France. I'm going with one of my grandchildren, my granddaughter. You know Sissy, Robert?
Yeah.
Sissy is taking me to Europe. So she had a scholarship to the Sorbonne, learned how to speak French there and everything.
So she's going to take you and, well, that's a fun thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go. But I want to say the horse meat, they slip in on an Ireland man. And I don't mean any offense, Mr. Henry, but you're Irish, right?
Yeah, well, I'm part Irish.
I would say, God bless the Irish, but I would rather they slide horse meat in on an Irishman than try to muck it up in France, because I will not accept that. It will be unacceptable to me. Yes, Mavis, this is Dr. Sadler. What happened on the phone line? What did she say?
What did you say?
I heard a kind of a screech or a squeak on the phone line.
I didn't hear that.
Hey, this is Dr. Sadler. I just heard it again.
Wait a minute. That's Dr. Jim Sadler.
Oh, Dr. Sadler, forgive me, sir. Forgive me, sir. I'm so sorry. I thought I was hearing a line. I thought someone was bugging the line. The way your voice is a very pleasant voice, but it come across sometime. Never mind, if you don't mind. Can we just move on from that? Did you say that again? Can we just move on from that? Can we move a floor mat? Can we move on?
Can we move on from the whole thing? Dr. Sadler wants to ask you a question.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, Dr. Sadler, go ahead. All right, Mavis. Are you saying that when you go to France and you're planning on traveling to France next month, that you are worried about a certain percentage of horse meat? I'm not worried about a certain percentage of horse meat, Dr. Sadler, because if someone tried to slide we call slide the winning, you know, and because.
But what do you call that?
Oh, we call Robert. You remember we used to call this slide the winning.
Yeah, we used to call that slide the winning, and all, because when I first started eating that Jack in the Box, and I love Jack in the Box, you know.
Don't Jack at the Box, but whatever.
Yeah, Let him finish.
You know. And we found out that they had horse meat. And my auntie, Mavis, and my mother, Roberta, both, they said, man, they're sliding Winnie on us because we're black people in the inner city. And that's the only reason why they're doing that.
Well, that may be true, Robert. I wouldn't doubt that. But I think times have changed. Well, I don't think times have changed that much where they ain't still trying to creep a Winnie in on you, you know. And when you say creep a Winnie in, what does that mean? You say that again? When you say they're creeping the Winnie in on you, what does it mean? It sounded, I understood the first part, and the second part sounded like you were being electrocuted.
When you say they're creeping the Winnie in, you mean there's horse meat?
Yeah, that's exactly, I mean, the Winnie is what a horse do. I understand that. All right, but the point I'm trying to make, and I think that what I'm trying to ascertain here, is when you go to France next month, Miss Leonard, you're afraid of having the horse meat? You know, Dr. Sadler, you're not talking to a Frenchman right now or a French woman. You don't have to yell like, you know, are you going to have horse meat? That's what I'm going to do when I go to France. But you don't have. I apologize. Are you afraid of horse meat? Yes, I am. I think I've already told you. I'm afraid they're going to try to trot a Winnie in on a burger. If I go in and I try to get a triple jack or try to do a 4x4 animal, and they said, do you mind if we go ahead and trot one in? I said, you go ahead and trot something into that burger, and I'll tell you, I will throw you in with it when we render it into Elmer's glue. I thank you. I'm Mavis Leonard, and it's been a lot of fun.
She gone?
Yeah.
Well, what is that about, hi, I'm Mavis Leonard? Doesn't she say goodbye?
No, she just She's all finished.
Robert, the next time I have Mavis on the show, would you ever say goodbye or say I gotta go, something like that?
But that was her report.
Well, it's not a report, Robert. She was talking to someone.
Dr. Sadler?
Yeah, I'm here. I've been humiliated a lot of different ways in my life, but I've never had anyone think that I'm so insignificant that they just talk at me like that. And
well, all right, I apologize, but, you know, she's an elderly woman.
I understand that, but, for her to say, that they're trotting a Winnie over, if I had a burger and I was in France and someone pulled Winnie, you know what, I don't even want to use that kind of language.
Yeah, but you already said your mind's so weak that it wraps itself around it.
I did say that. You're right.
Yeah, you did. You said, as soon as I said psycho farmer, you couldn't get off that.
Or ape. Actually, ape I got off of. But, to say that they're going to rocket Winnie in on a burger that I'm eating.
There you go again.
I give up. I just...
All right, so anyway, you don't have to worry about any horse meat in any sandwich, any burgers anywhere other than Ireland, because the Burger King people are like, they're Irish, and are they going to notice? And it's very offensive, and I think it's racist, and I think it's anti-freckle, it's anti-ginger, and it sucks. We'll be back, so there, that's our statement on that. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more on this controversy and others. And tonight, we're online at Phil Henry Show. Well, no, not online, but tomorrow, on demand, at philhenryshow.com. The 49ers pull an anti-gay bullying ad. We'll talk about that next hour.
Phil Henry.
Boy, you got a hard time tonight, though.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show. All right, Alex, there goes our brother Alex is splitting, man. We've had all kinds of people crawling through here today. We've had techs. We've had Scientologists.
What do you mean Scientologists?
We've had just about everybody.
We've had everybody trying to help us as we continue our transition technologically, as we continue our transition media-wise, as we continue our transition... technocratically as well.
My, the big words.
That's right. As we continue to move ever so gingerly into the 21st century, providing for our audience a new kind of media for the various delivery systems and platforms. See, there's no such thing anymore, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know this or not. There's no such thing as a television or a radio. It's called a platform. It's a platform. And the how you get what you see or hear on your platform is the delivery system. Just like we heard in that movie, I don't know, you guys are too young maybe, but in the film The Insider, which was the film about the doctor that blew the whistle on Brown and Williams and the tobacco company, he said that a cigarette is nothing more than a nicotine delivery system. And I always, that was like the most, that was a profound moment for me, because when I heard that, I was watching the film, it was Russell Crowe was in it, Al Pacino, it was a very good movie. One of the great things about Michael Mann is he makes these films that are not really all that action-oriented. He turns them into almost like action epics, and, you have to do a little dance with the facts.
But you talk about a movie that's about a guy quitting smoking, how's that an action picture?
Yeah, you kidding?
It wasn't a movie about a guy quitting smoking.
What was it about?
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
It was about the doctor. Listen, it was about the doctor at the Brown and Williamson Company. But he wasn't a doctor, he was a scientist.
Yeah, he was a research scientist for Brown and Williamson. Who, just had a series of he had a series of run-ins and confrontations with his employer that eventually soured him so much in the company, he decided to contact the media. And his name was Dr. Jeffrey Wigand.
Did they make all this up?
No, they didn't make it up. It's a true story. Dr. Jeffrey Wigand, who currently is a school teacher, a chemistry teacher, Dr. Wigand blew the whistle on Brown and Williamson, talked to 60 Minutes about the amount of nicotine that goes into a cigarette, about the ever-increasing amount of nicotine that has gone into cigarettes, the philosophies of these different tobacco companies, the fact that they do know it's an addictive substance, and that in point of fact, what a cigarette is a nicotine delivery system whereby the nicotine gets into the consumer and we can't quit. We can't give up smoking cigarettes. And it's an insidious way to, keep, if you will, brand loyalty when we talk about consumer loyalty, we're not talking about the company manipulating, you know.
Well, I think you'd get an argument there, though.
Yeah, what about, like, Harley Davidson? You was talking about Harley Davidson last night?
Yeah.
Don't they, like...
They do almost a brain manipulation.
Okay, bud, you ride a Harley, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like your mind has been, you know, manipulated?
Well, that's an unfair question to ask that idiot, because he wouldn't know.
What do you mean, idiot?
You wouldn't know if someone was mentally, you know, manipulating you, would you?
Yeah.
How would you know, bud?
I'd know.
No, you wouldn't, man. You've been buying a Harley Davidson.
I buy Harley because it's good.
All right, okay. It's a pointless conversation, okay? We're not talking about mental manipulation. You're going to start telling me you're going to start suing people?
Well, what about the man you had on your program that wanted to sue? You were just talking about fast food. The man that wanted to sue the chicken, the Colonel Chicken.
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders?
Is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name, Colonel Sanders.
No, this was someone else. It was Colonel Chicken.
No, there's only one Colonel, and that's Colonel Sanders.
No, there's more than one Colonel.
Okay, but we're talking about fast food. There's only one Colonel that I know of in the fast food business.
What about Orville Redenbacher?
I'm sorry?
What about Orville Redenbacher?
What about him?
Shut up, man. I'm not talking to you.
Hold on. What about Orville Redenbacher?
And that's Colonel.
That is a Colonel. That's the Colonel of the popcorn.
I ain't talking about K-E-R-N-A-L.
Phil, why are you getting so upset? It's just a question.
You know what? You're right. I should have a lot more patience, but I can't believe we're having a conversation. I'm talking about Colonel as in C-O-L-O.
Oh, like the military.
Yes, the military.
That still begs the question. What Colonel is involved in fast food? That's an asinine thing to bring up, Phil.
Why is that an asinine thing? I don't understand. You've never heard of Colonel Sanders.
They never even heard of Colonel Sanders. Everybody knows about it.
Well, not everyone. I've never heard of him, all right?
Colonel Sanders had the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Do you know that?
Yes, everyone knows that.
Well, that's the guy.
I didn't know that that's the same guy.
Neither did I.
Did you ever see a... All right, you never saw that... You know what? I had to just cut my losses. All right, so you've heard of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes, I've heard of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that was the man that sued the Colonel Chicken, is what I'm talking about, though. That he sued them.
There's no Colonel Chicken, I'm telling you.
Well, you're trying to sell me a bill of goods about some guy in the military that owns a fast food joint on the side. It's not going to wash.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
What's the matter, Mr. Henry? You look like you're almost going to throw up.
No, it's not throwing up that I'm fearing.
Well, what if you're not going to throw up, what are you going to do?
You need to go to the bathroom?
I need for you two to just listen to me for a second. Colonel Sanders is not in the military. Colonel Sanders is one of those southern colonels, you know?
No, I don't.
What are you talking about? You talking about a slaveholder?
No, Robert, I'm not talking about a slaveholder. Although it might harken back to those. I don't know. But Colonel Sanders was one of them southern colonels, you know?
What's that?
I don't know, man. There's cats down there that are colonels, you know?
Well, what do you mean, Phil?
I don't know. I can't describe it. I can't describe it, but down south, there's guys that are colonels, and I don't know what they're colonels in. Maybe they were colonels in a Confederate... Well, it'd be too long ago.
Maybe they're like in a National Guard.
I don't know. I don't think it's National Guard. Colonel Sanders had on a white suit, and he had on the beard. You don't remember that, huh?
No, I don't.
And he had a string tie.
What army's that?
It ain't no army, man. It's what the guy... It's not an army. It's his title. He's a colonel. Don't ask me how he became a colonel. He's just a colonel. Now, forget about all of that for just a second. Colonel Sanders, with the white suit, the string tie, the beard, the whole act, started a chicken restaurant, okay?
That's Colonel Chicken.
No, that's not Colonel Chicken. He started the chicken restaurant. It became a bunch of restaurants. It became a national chain, and it became what you and I know today as Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Are you talking about the Kentucky Colonels?
Yes. Isn't there Kentucky Colonels?
Yeah, the ABA team.
I remember that because that's Artis Gilmore played for them.
I'm not talking about the ABA team, all right?
Well, then, Phil, no one knows what you're talking about.
All right. All I can tell you is, you know, there was Kentucky Colonels of some kind, and they were Kentucky Colonels. I don't know. I think it was some kind of a... Anyway, that guy started the chicken thing. And the chicken restaurant took off, became a huge thing. And anyway, to make a long story short, you, Margaret, think that the guy we had on the show wanted to sue them because he got fat, right?
Yes.
All right. That isn't going to happen.
Then why is it people can sue the tobacco companies?
Because there is a very clear physical connection between the smoking of cigarettes and physical and disease. Now, hold on. You can't quite draw that same connection between Kentucky chicken, or if you want to call it Colonel chicken. I don't care what you call it, okay?
But like Popeyes.
You could call it Popeyes if you want, all right? It doesn't make any difference. He was in the military, too.
Who?
Popeye.
What military was he? Oh, the Navy.
Yeah, the Navy. Okay, so...
Well, Phil, it was a cartoon character. Good God.
Oh, man. Oh, you're right. In any event,
You know, you think you make a point...
Margaret, can I finish, please?
Yeah, but Popeye was in the U.S. Navy, right?
No, man. He was in the Polish Navy. Yes, he was in the U.S. I don't know what Navy he was in.
Well, he probably was in the U.S. Navy, but he didn't exist, and that's all there is to that. Colonel Chicken, he did... Or not Colonel Chicken, but this guy Sanders, whoever he is, I ain't never heard of him. I hope I never meet him. But you say he's alive, you say he exists, and walks the streets like a normal man? Okay, Mr. Henry, I'll go with you on that. But don't try to sell me on a chicken.
Let me tell you something, oh genius bud. Colonel Sanders is no longer with us. He died. That's how real he was. He lived, and then he died. Do cartoon characters die? No, they don't. Popeye's still walking around in that sailor suit.
Man, that must cost the Navy a lot.
Why?
The pension.
Yeah, the Popeye pension. Yeah, that's busting us, man. I bet you the department... In any event...
Dan, it looks like you're going to throw up again.
In any event... In any event,
spit it out.
I'm going to say it. In any event, you can't sue Colonel Sanders and say, I am a fat slob today because of them.
Why not? That's my question.
Because there's no proven link between the eating of Colonel Sanders' chicken and becoming a gargantuan fat ass. Yes, some people have eaten Colonel Sanders and become fat. There are some people who've eaten Colonel Sanders' chicken and have not become fat.
Well, I'd love to meet them.
Yeah, who the hell are you going to talk about there, man? You know?
I don't know. I bet you I could find them, though. I bet you if I was, for instance, representing the Colonel Sanders or Colonel Chicken company, I would find enough witnesses to say, hi, I've eaten Colonel Sanders my whole life, and I haven't gained an ounce. I would, and that's why there's not going to be a lawsuit. It's as simple as that. All right, we'll take a break. Be back here with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Be right
the
back.
The Phil Hendry Show.
What are you talking about now?
Michael Mann, Brown and William, I forget.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, nothing gets people talking. I'm telling you right now, nothing gets people more fired up. Nothing gets people more agitated. Nothing brings out the trolls. Nothing brings out the people that just love to fire things up more than the discussion, especially online, of gay rights. It becomes a open season for anybody that is full of hate. It's an open season for anybody that wants to get back at these hate mongers. It's open season for the dumb. It's open season for the smart. It's open season, you know.
But I mean, yeah, open season.
It's like a hunting season. You can just...
Yeah, it's like just anything goes. And now we have... And so I looked at the page after page after page after page of comments following the article on the San Francisco 49ers who have pulled a gay rights ad that they had taped or that they had recorded or otherwise produced for public consumption during the Super Bowl. And look at this. Just I haven't gotten to the end of this yet, man. You talk about a waste of paper.
Yeah, I told you how to do the setting on that.
No. It's not that I didn't know how to do the setting. I was in such a hurry, I didn't set the printer to limit the amount of pages it printed. And it just went and went and went. Look at this, man. It is just going on and on. All these people. What? Nobody reads this stuff. The only people that read this, the only people that read all of these comments are the people that are actively online engaging and commenting. the rest of us, I got to tell you, folks, with the greatest of respect, if you are one of these people to get involved in these online comment battles, nobody's reading that except the jackball that you're screaming at. I sure as hell don't. I don't know anybody that goes, let me just scan through all this, unless they are going to actively participate themselves. And people that actively participate in these comment sections are a small minority. I mean, I've been trying to tell people this for years. They don't want to listen to it, you know.
Phil, people are going to believe what they believe.
Yeah. Nobody listens to me. All right.
You're not suffering, man.
Yeah, it ain't no sweat off of your sack.
Will you watch that kind of language, please?
Sorry.
49ers gay rights ad pulled by It Gets Better campaign. The San Francisco 49ers were the first NFL team to tape a gay rights ad for the It Gets Better campaign. Meaning, I think, that life is going to improve for you. Don't worry. Kids, the thing of it is the kids, the young people that are gay and are having a very difficult time either expressing themselves or fitting in with, a very strong heterosexually influenced society. Those are the kids that are having a lot of kids have a hard time, but those kids are having a difficult time as well. And, you know, there's been a high incidence of suicide and so on. So this ad is a part of a campaign called It Gets Better to try to help young people who are gay deal with that. Unfortunately, they pulled the gay rights ad for It Gets Better. Unfortunately, they're also the first NFL team to get the ad pulled by the It Gets Better organization. Why? Well, the 49ers haven't been saying the nicest things about the gay community lately. Defensive back Chris Culliver said recently that a gay football player would not be welcome in an NFL locker room. He later apologized for his comments. To make things worse, linebacker Ahmad Brooks and tackle Isaac Sapoga apparently forgot that they made a pro-gay rights video. Brooks and Sapoga, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, sir, on second thought, had their memories jogged when they were shown the It Gets Better video, but both players denied knowing that they'd made the video to promote gay rights. Brooks and Sapoga said they thought they were making an anti-bullying ad. And maybe that's true. One of the goals of the It Gets Better campaign is to stop bullying against lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender youth. But why were they so defensive? Why were they offended at the thought of making a pro-gay rights video? Brooks and Sapoga said they want their name associated with the gay rights campaign, and now it looks like the gay rights organization doesn't want anything to do with the San Francisco 49ers. That's one of life's great, magnificent ironies right now, that San Francisco, universally recognized as one of the meccas for gay people, not only in America, but the world, a city that has been progressive when it comes to the rights of gay people, a city that has an active gay business community, an active gay electorate. This is a city whose football team is not welcome doing gay rights ads. The 49ers video may no longer be available on the It Gets Better website, but you can still see it on YouTube. How about that?
Well, I guess that just goes to show you, you know, that these football teams are populated with, you can put a football team in San Francisco, but the problem that I see, if I can make this statement.
And we're going to be talking here in just a moment with Vernon Dozier, football coach. Go ahead.
The problem that I see, good, I want to talk to Coach Dozier. The problem as I see it, Phil, and this has been going on since the National Football League began, is that the players that are playing for the teams are not people that are from the city. So if you have the San Francisco 49er football team, and I could be wrong, but there are players on that team that are from, I thought I saw Rhode Island and places like, that's nowhere near San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a good point, you know, because, what?
Well, wait a minute, hold on. What are you talking about? You got to have players that are good. The first thing you want are good players.
Well, you can find good players.
Can you get good players in San Francisco?
Well, yeah, you can get good players in San Francisco, but you want the best players. You want the best football players for your team. You know, and sometimes you have to go other places.
Well, what other places do you need to go when you find... What good is it going to do you to get someone who is a wide back or...
A wide receiver?
I don't know. you're going to go and get the tight receiver or the tight end. Is that it?
Yeah, I'll call it tight end.
All right. And you go and get it, and it's from Alabama. All right, let's get very extreme here. Nothing against people in Alabama, but I think they understand that you're already going in with one foot in it if you've got an Alabaman or an on your team. All I'm saying, Phil, is the San Francisco 49er football team.
Yes.
Can't afford to have the wide out and the tight receivers and all of these people that are from these other places where they don't understand these things.
That's a pretty good point, Mr. Henry, and I just would add one thing.
Yes, go ahead.
What are you getting all that attitude for?
What's your problem?
You guys you don't know football. You don't understand football. This is what we're seeing here, okay? Why aren't you weighing in, Robert, and helping me?
Because I think they're making some sense.
You know full well they're not making any sense. Go ahead.
Well, if you think you'd make better sense.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
The San Francisco Niner football team was one of the best I've ever seen, and I know that.
Uh-huh.
If you got guys on that team that don't understand the gay mentality or the lifestyles, or I know it's not a lifestyle.
It's not a lifestyle. It's an orientation.
Yeah. If you got guys on that team that can't understand how the whole orientation is, and they go out and play the football game, then they go to a bar, beat up on a gay, go play a football game, go to a bar, beat up gay, go football game, beat up bar, go to a gay. You know,
beat up a football team and go to a gay.
No, he said go to a gay and beat up a bar. No, that's not
what I meant.
Just hold on, okay?
No,
hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be back. Vernon Dozier with us to talk about the San Francisco 49ers pulling an anti-gay. Actually, they had their anti-gay ad, a commercial the 49er players created for It Gets Better. It Gets Better doesn't want anything to do with the 49ers because of some of the homophobia on their football team. We'll find out. What about Jim Harbaugh? Is he just making all the gay jokes? I'm joking. I shouldn't be joking, though. But we'll talk about it when we come back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
If he goes to a bar and he consorts with an anti-gay.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And remember, the Phil Henry Show is on demand on our website for all media, you name it, man, all devices. We are on demand as we continue to transition into the modern world of encoding for our Apple listeners as well, people with smartphones of all kinds. You can still get all of our media on your smartphone, on your iPhone, on your iPad. Our live streaming will be available to you very, very soon as well. We're working a lot of kinks out. There's no question. And we are making every effort to get that squared away as quickly as possible. So please don't think for one minute, man, we've given up on live streaming our video cast. Not a chance, baby. That's going to be, it'll be back Monday. This is what, Friday? Yeah, it'll be back Monday. We want to get on the line a couple of gentlemen. We have Vernon Dozier. Vernon is with Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. Gary Garson is joining us from The Other Side, which is a public radio show that is about LGBT people, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. And Gary and Vernon are joining us tonight on our newsmaker lines. Just as I could get Gary up on the line here. I'm not exactly sure where he is. Gary, thank you for joining us. Good to have you on with us.
Hi, Phil. Always a pleasure, Phil.
And how are you doing, Vernon?
I'm very good, Phil.
All right. First of all, we'll ask Gary. Your show is a show for gay people, lesbians.
As you said it, Phil, it's a program for gay people and lesbians and transgender and bisexual people, yes.
And is it a call-in show?
Yes, we have some call-in. We have guests. We have a number of different features on our program, and it's designed to inform our audience, even our non-gay listeners, straight listeners, about the realities of being gay in America here at the turn of this new millennium, all of the opportunities, the possibilities are endless. Things are really improving rapidly for gay people in this country, but we've got an awfully long way to go.
And Vernon, you're a football coach. You deal with young people in the sport of football. You also coach at the college level, and it's good to have you on our show.
Okay, Bill, thank you. I, when you said good to have me, I had to laugh.
You thought you were being had.
Yeah, I thought I was being had. As my wife used to, when I say to my wife, it's great to have you, and she says, well, it's great to be had, I always have to laugh.
All right, so what I want to talk to both you gentlemen about are these anti-gay ads that It Gets Better, the campaign, the It Gets Better campaign was taping and wanted to air, at least during the Super Bowl, one of them from the San Francisco 49ers. Gary, go ahead and comment, if you will, on where you think the 49ers went wrong.
Well, I think where the 49ers went wrong is allowing a couple of individuals that represent their organization who are not representative of a progressive or an evolved view on human rights, because that's what it is. It's human rights. It's not got anything to do with... We're not just talking about gay rights. We're talking about human rights. And the San Francisco 49ers, I don't think, were very selective in their choice of individuals who understand this. And let me tell you that I'm a big football fan. I love to watch the game, and we're all 49er fans up here. And
I forgot to say, you're in San Francisco.
Yes.
And so you've got obviously a much, much better view of this than the rest of us. Were there other players that they could have talked to?
Well, there must be other players on the San Francisco 49er team that is far more representative of a progressive view than these two people that they got. I don't know. But 49ers, while we support the 49ers, and we support the gay community of San Francisco, and gay football fans all over the country support the National Football League with their dollars, purchasing products endorsed by the National Football League, purchasing the products of the sponsors, buying season tickets, buying individual game tickets, buying the merchandise of the team. Gay people are as active a sport fan as anybody else, in San Francisco especially. And so for the 49ers not to understand that and to trot out, as I heard the lady say earlier, she didn't want to trot any Winnie. Well, I think the 49ers have just trotted out a couple of the sound that a goat makes, bad, bad black sheep, because these two guys that they brought out and that they put in front of the American people as representatives of the pro-gay, anti-bullying San Francisco 49ers, they might as well have just tried it out, Adolf Hitler and Genghis Khan.
Vernon?
Well, I think that's a little unfair. Adolf Hitler, I don't think, you've got a couple of football players that are committed to winning a Super Bowl. And I think when that happens, Phil, everything else is by the wayside. And I got to tell you, I've spent my life with young people. I've spent my life with football players. I believe very much in human rights and human dignity. And and one of my idols was Vince Lombardi, whose brother Harold, who just passed on, was gay.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know that Vince Lombardi's brother Harold was a gay man. And Vince Lombardi, very early on, took...
That's right, if I could just jump in.
Well, I was talking...
I want to just mention that Vince Lombardi was very much a defender of gay people's rights early on. One of the Packer players was gay at that time, and I think I can say now it was Marv Fleming. And I think there were some rumors or something, or people were saying some unkind things, and Lombardi said to the players, I will have none of that on my team.
Go ahead, Vernon.
Well, I don't know anything about what he just said about Marv Fleming. Marv Fleming played for the Miami Dolphins, I know that, and you can certainly understand that the Dolphins would have and I think Marv Fleming was a great player, but to have a gay player on the Dolphins makes sense. I don't know that Marv Fleming was gay when he was with the San Francisco Packers, but
The Green Bay Packers, Marv Fleming, you don't go from being straight to gay.
Yeah, if he was gay, he was gay when he played for the Packers.
All right, well, how do you know?
I remember reading in Vince Lombardi's book that Lombardi's brother was gay.
No, I know his brother was gay. That was the part that I wanted to introduce. And with all respect to Mr. Garson, I appreciate it. But I wanted to say that part, and you let him...
Well, all right. I you know what? He's right, Gary. Vernon had the floor.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry if I interrupted you, but I too am very familiar with the Vince Lombardi story. All right. But I too am familiar. I am familiar with the Vince Lombardi story.
Yes.
And I wanted to say that part. And if we can back up, Vince Lombardi, the greatest football coach in the history of the National Football League, 5 world championships with the Green Bay Packers. And Vince Lombardi was an open-minded man. He was open-minded about race. He was open-minded about sexual sex practices and sex, you know, everything that you do with having to do with sex, I guess. And I wanted to bring that up, that Vince Lombardi was he was kind to his gay brother. And if you're telling me there was a gay player, I didn't know that.
It was
brought up in the book that Phil is talking about. You're, once again, Mr. Henry, he's trying to hog the floor.
All right, this doesn't have to be contentious. You guys aren't here to debate.
I didn't think I was coming on here to argue. No, I didn't come on here to argue either. I'm just saying that I'm talking now.
Well, Vernon, okay, yes, you are. What do you want to say? Vince Lombardi's brother, Harold Lombardi, was gay, and that's true. There was a player, I don't know if it was Marv Fleming, probably was, who was gay on the Packers early on, at least, you know, when Coach Lombardi was there. And I believe it was Marv Fleming that Coach Lombardi was defending when some of the players were trying to razz him or make some very unkind.
Phil, understand that if you're a gay player in the National Football League, there's no such thing as being razzed. You are harassed. Your life is made very difficult. Your life as a player, as well as just an individual and a participating member of the team, is made exceedingly difficult if you're with a bunch of unenlightened imbeciles. And so Marv Fleming probably wasn't just harassed. I think Marv Fleming was probably openly attacked. I'm not saying physically, but I think he was attacked verbally. I think it was probably an extremely hostile work environment for Marv Fleming until Coach Lombardi stepped in.
Okay, Vernon, go ahead.
I had come on your program, Mr. Henry, I wanted to be the one that brought out the Vince Lombardi material. You allowed this gay man to do it. There's nothing for me to say now. That's the only gay material that I've got.
What is that gay material?
I'll respond to Mr. Henry right now, Mr. Garson. I appreciate very much your comment.
All right, okay, I'm sorry. I blame myself. You're right, Vernon. You were going to tell us the story, and then Mr. Garson, and I thank you for your... This is all my fault, gentlemen. I didn't moderate properly.
Well, Phil, I had it. I was going to talk about it. Yeah, you were going to talk about it, but I wanted to talk about it because I had read up on it, and I was going to come in with the gay material.
Gay? What do you mean by gay material? I'm gay, so everything I've got to say is gay material.
Well,
okay, let me do this. I want to hear Mr. Dozier's take on this. So you have your take, Gary. We know, and many people have probably read the books and know the story of Vince Lombardi. How does that relate to the present situation with the 49ers?
Well, I think it relates to the present situation this way. Vince Lombardi, the greatest head coach in the history of the National Football League, was a very open-minded man. The San Francisco 49ers are behaving in a way that I think would be a disgrace to them, and is a disgrace to the memory of Vince Lombardi. It's a disgrace to the organization because Lombardi had a... Lombardi had a gay brother. All the stuff I wanted to say, the gay already said.
Who are you talking about when you say the gay?
Hold on. Again, this is not a debate.
Well, this is the second time that the guy has said that I'm the gay.
I apologize, sir. I didn't mean to say that.
Well, what is your hostility, sir?
I don't have any hostility. It's just that what I wanted to say...
I know that he already said that Vince Lombardi's brother, Harold, is gay, or was gay.
I could do that.
What?
I could forget that he's dead and say he is gay, and then you could say, no, he was gay, and that...
Well, that would sound asinine.
Excuse me again, sir. I'm not speaking to you.
Look, we're going to have to take a break.
Oh, great. Every time.
Got to take a break. We'll be right back here. 877-876-PHIL. We're on with Vernon Doja here, Gary Garson from the Other Side Radio Show in San Francisco, as we talk about the San Francisco 49ers and a what was supposed to be an ad defending the rights of young gay people against bullying. It's been pulled by It Gets Better because the 49er players that were articulating this have made some crass, crude, anti-gay comments. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And tomorrow, our video cast on demand, as well as our radio show podcast, and also our Phil Hendry Show podcast available on iTunes. We are up to episode 118. Is that it, bud?
Yeah, 118 episode of the Phil Hendry podcast.
That's a lot of them.
It is a lot of them. And so we've got 118 of the. So if you want to check out our podcast and see just how much great material you get on our archives at philhendryshow.com, check it out. It's on iTunes. We are consistently one of the top-rated comedy podcasts over at iTunes, although I have not checked it lately. Have you looked at it, Margaret?
No, I don't know where to go to look at that, but I do listen to it, but I don't know where. Where do you go to see whether it's top-rated or not?
Doug, you got a chart.
Yeah, they got a chart.
Well, I don't know what.
In any event, we'll, it doesn't matter, but people are enjoying it. We appreciate that. So check that out as well. We with us? What am I saying?
Oh, sir, Wee Willie.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to talk about Wee Willie Winkie, and that might have been it.
No, we were not going to talk about Wee Willie Winkie. Who's he?
Can I jump in, Phil?
Yeah.
Wee Willie Winkie was a communist. I think he was a communist. And later become a thief.
No, you're talking about Willie Sutton. Wee Willie Winkie was a communist. I agree with Vernon there. Mr. Tozier, I'm glad we've got an area of agreement.
I am too, sir. I'm very grateful for that.
Wee Willie Winkie was a communist?
That is my understanding, yes.
I wasn't going to talk about Wee Willie Winkie.
Well, you said Wee Willie...
No, I said we will... I meant to say will we... I reversed something.
Oh, okay.
My understanding, Phil, was that Wee Willie Winkie was a communist labor organizer.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'll go with that.
A communist labor organizer. Well, we're not going to talk about Wee Willie Winkie, the communist...
What are you laughing at? Do you know that my grandfather walked on those picket lines with those garment workers? My grandfather walked on the picket lines with the Teamsters. My grandfather was, and I shouldn't say this... He was hired Irish muscle for a lot of those strikers.
That's interesting. Your grandfather was more or less one of the muscle guys that the union brought in, huh?
Yes, that's right, Mr. Garson.
He's not working for the company.
Well, can I jump in here, Phil?
Go ahead.
So you're saying that your grandfather, Ms. Gray, was working on behalf of communists. That's not
communist.
Hold on for a minute now, Garson. I've been listening to you.
Hold on, gentlemen. We're not going to get into a conversation about labor organizing, all right?
You brought up Wee Willie Winkie.
Wee Willie Winkie, I did not bring up.
Phil, please don't mock what my grandfather gave his life for. Because...
Your grandfather, did he die on the picket line?
No, he died.
He died, well...
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he... All right, I'm sorry, you know.
Yes, it does mean that.
Mr. Hendry, I don't think we're in any position to comment on why someone's grandfather gave his life. I think that it's fair enough to say that Ms. Gray's grandfather died, and at one time he was walking picket lines with those workers and was defending them, and so you can say to some extent he gave his life.
That is a very good point. I apologize, Margaret. I'm sorry.
All right.
I didn't know it choked you up.
I was very close to my grandfather, and Wee Willie Winkie, who was not that well known to a great many of the union members. In fact, I didn't even know of him until I was much, much older. My grandfather would have spoken very warmly of him had he known him.
Did your grandfather know that he existed?
See, that's the question I'd like to ask.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead what?
Ask the question.
Mr. Garson already asked it.
Mr. Garson already asked the question.
Oh, all right. Well, what was the question?
Margaret, I'm going to tell you, I want to get back to this.
No, I want to, the question was, did your grandfather know Wee Willie Winkie? Now, I want an answer to that.
My grandfather would have known him had he known of him. But Wee Willie Winkie, you know something? This is not about my grandfather. It's about Wee Willie Winkie and what he did for the working men and women of this country.
I've never heard of Wee Willie Winkie until you brought him up, Garson.
Well, I brought up Wee Willie. I'm assuming that it was Willie Sutton. That's who I thought they were talking about.
Willie Sutton was a crook, okay?
Yeah, well, what's the matter with you?
First of all, you've yet to establish who is Wee Willie.
God, Henry, if you laugh one more time at the man that my father gave his life for.
Your father or your grandfather?
Yeah, there's a good question.
My grandfather. I sent my father to eliminate. I eliminated the word grand. Took too much time.
It was a time measure.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, because we're really up against the time here.
You want to be a smartass? I haven't gotten up from this table yet.
And you're not going to, Margaret. I'm going to finish this conversation. First of all, I want to apologize to my guests for getting sidetracked on a discussion of Wee Willie Winkie. I've never heard of him. I don't think he exists. And you brought up a Wee Willie Winkie.
Wait a second. You don't think he exists?
No, I don't. I think you brought him up because I misspoke. I said and we were something, and I didn't mean to say that, and you said that I was talking about Wee Willie Winkie. I said, who? And you said he was a labor organizer and a communist. And you agreed with that, Mr. Garson.
I have to agree with that because I'm just trying to move the conversation along.
And you, Mr. Dozier, why'd you agree with it?
I did not agree with it. I did not agree. I never heard a Wee Willie Winkie. And what's more, even if I was a commie, and thank God Almighty that I'm not, but if I were a commie, I will tell you that I would never, ever go out on a picket line for some guy named Wee Willie Winkie. Now, why am I hearing crickets? Did somebody open a window in here? Close the window, will you, Bill? Listen to that. I can hear crickets and all kinds of stuff.
That could be on my end because we're practicing and we're outside. We're on a football field.
Practicing what?
Wouldn't you like to know? We happen to be doing, I've got a dance routine. I do a radio show and we have a review, a drag review.
Okay, Gary is involved in a drag review, a drag, you know.
You mean you dress up like a...
Yes, we dress up like a woman for straight guys like you.
Hey. I've been to Finocchio's. I think that's a marvelous show. It's a very beautiful show, and I enjoy it very deeply. But that doesn't mean that you can take liberties with me.
Well, come on over to our show. You'll enjoy it. I won't take any liberties, except with your money.
All right, that's fair enough.
Okay, thank you very much, Margaret. Thank you.
Well, are you going to apologize to Wee Willie?
Forget Wee Willie Winkie. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Here it is right here, Wikipedia. Wee Willie Winkie was a commie, a crawling, dirty, stinking red.
So Wee Willie Winkie was a crawling red, huh?
Phil Henry.
PhilHenryShow.com. Don't forget, on demand tomorrow morning is our video cast from the night show, as well as our podcast and our Phil Henry Show podcast. And a Backstage Pass membership gets you almost 5,000 hours of archived great radio, as well as, our video archive, our Los Angeles shows. And I also would like to, at this particular time, welcome into the fight, and I say this very seriously, welcome into the fight for the respect for our copyright, for material that radio people are beginning to own themselves. You know, I own much of my show's material, and a lot of people on the air are beginning to own their own material, and they're protecting it by way of copyright and trademark, and we continue to have that copyright infringed a variety of different ways online, and we have to invoke our rights legally by way of having takedown notices sent and sometimes suing people. And one of the people now that's jumping into the fight to protect his material is Steve Dahl in Chicago. He's a legendary broadcaster, longtime Chicago broadcaster, and one of the very earliest practitioners of I don't use this term shock jock. I think that's anybody that uses the term shock jock already marks themselves in my mind as an amateur. I don't consider them even broadcast professionals. Anybody that says shock jock, to me, he was one of the first of the I call them entertainment talk hosts, personality talk hosts, people that brought art to the talk radio, format, as opposed to just being a very dry host. Rush is another one, but, Rush is not even, Rush came along after Steve Dahl. Steve Dahl was one of the first. So in any event, Steve Dahl is now protecting his material by way of copyright, and he's being assaulted in the same way that I was. And continue to be. And we continue to, fight that fight. If you want to fight the good fight, there's the good fight. That's somebody who's making a living with their material. I make a living with this. It's not like I'm not living the high life here, man. I'm just a working stiff, trying to make a living with my work. This is stuff that I did. And we offer it to people by way of a subscription service, and people take advantage of it, and we respect them, and we respect their rights. And I don't steal from anybody. I'm not out there thieving my way to any great money. This is all my stuff. People that take our material, anybody, people that take Steve Dahl's material, people that take Howard Stern's material, I don't care who, anybody that willingly violates a copyright is a thief. Okay? You're just a thief. I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but there's no getting around it. And if that's okay with you, then you won't mind if we break into your house some night and steal what you've got.
Well, they're not breaking in.
They most certainly are. If it says that this is not to be publicly... I'm not talking about people that download material and share it among friends. That's legal. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a select few people. They know exactly what they're doing. They take the material and they file share it on a public site. What they're doing essentially is trying to devalue it. They're trying to damage people's businesses. When you take someone's material that is protected by a copyright and you publicly file share it, you're attempting to devalue that person's business. Don't give me this bull crap about how you're promoting it, because you're not, I've heard that argument. I've had that discussion. I've been involved in that argument. And it is an absolutely unacceptable point of view. It's wrong about 900 different ways when you look at it. And at the end of the day, the guy that makes the decision on what to do with his own material is that guy, not some internet, archivist, some self-described curator, someone who decides that they know better than the person that owns the stuff what to do with it. That happens all the time. So I saw where Steve Dahl is having he's having this battle, and he had to have a fan, a well-meaning fan, I'm sure, who was taking his material and putting it on a website and giving it away for free. And Dahl had to do a takedown on this guy, and I'm sure that it got the guy really pissed off. And I don't understand these people. If you're really a fan, you would respect the wishes of the person that created that stuff. There's no difference between the guy and the material that he created. If you like that show and you like that material, then you would want to respect the wishes of that individual. If you don't, then you're a thief. And that's all there is to it. And you're okay with people stealing. Now, if you're all right with somebody coming into your house or taking your stuff, then,
Yeah, every time you talk about this, though, people get upset.
No, people don't. Most people understand exactly what I'm talking about. Most people agree with me. The people who get upset are that little minority of, I don't know what you call them. They're just the denizens that creep along the underside of the internet that want to just ruin everything, want to, devalue everything and steal everything and that's fine. I know they're there, and we deal with them. But it's for the people listening out there, so they know what it is we're up against, and so they also know that Steve Dahl is doing a battle this way. Phil Hendry is, and more and more and more and more people will be. Now, one of the things that has opened up the eyes of the average citizen, if you want to, I don't mean to say average citizen, but people that are not media people, is this whole Instagram thing and this whole Facebook fight.
What's that?
That's people saying, wait a second, Instagram, you don't own my pictures.
Oh, I remember that because people were afraid that Instagram was stealing.
No, no, no. People weren't afraid that Instagram was stealing. People were simply afraid that Instagram had made a, I guess what you would say, a mass or broad brush claim that everything that's on Instagram we own. And people automatically responded to that saying, no, wait a minute. You don't own my picture. I own my picture. So Instagram had to explain, they had to clarify that, no, we're not trying to steal anybody's picture. We're just trying to clarify terms of use. And no, no, you own your photographs. Now, the significance of that isn't what Instagram was up to. I'm not talking about that. The significance of it was the reaction of people that use Instagram. Suddenly, everybody recognizes what it is to have material, to share it online, and what it means when that material is usurped or otherwise co-opted and used by somebody else. People are really protective of the stuff they create, you know. So, and I think people who reacted that way to the Instagram thing understand where Phil Hendry's coming from, where Steve Dahl may be coming from, where a lot of other people are coming from. We say, I don't mind you listening to my material. I don't mind you enjoying it. I don't even mind you, and yes, we do charge a price because we're people that people will, and thank God, people will pay a subscription fee to hear our material. But the fight is the same. You know, if you access it legally, we're very happy to share it with you. But if you take it and you publicly file share it, that violates the terms of service. That violates why we put it online in the first place. It's a violation of the law if you don't take it down after we ask you to, and a lot of these people do not.
Well, you can sue them, though.
Yes, you can sue them. And when you threaten them with a lawsuit, that's eventually when they start to take the stuff down. Now the average person using Instagram or Facebook, now they understand this. I had and there's a lot of people who do all kinds of really silly mental gymnastics and semantic twists and turns to win their argument, like the guy that I talked to on Reddit who said, Mr. Hendry, I don't see why you have a problem with sharing your stuff. I said, well, I do because it's how I make my living. If I had more than one thing that I made, I'd be happy to give away the other things. I still have the original. And then some guy jumped on and said, don't you understand that that's the whole reason why, for instance, bands, people that publish music, they have the original tapes. Yeah, but all of the copies of that music they've made, all of that stuff hasn't been paid for. It's being publicly file shared. It was the whole Napster thing. That's what Metallica was talking about. And nobody liked Metallica.
Well, you know, when you have people that are used to this.
Yeah, if you're used to going to get Metallica, now all of a sudden they're going, hey, you got to pay for it. That's a jip.
What do you mean that's a jip? What is that supposed to be? What Metallica said was, you know, we didn't know that this is going on. We didn't make this stuff available for free. It was being publicly file shared, so nobody's buying our records. So what the hell are we working for free? You know, what is this about? Napster. We have an album. And Napster, yes, and then people put it here and then everybody can access it. Well, that's not kind of the way the ball game's played, man. I mean, we cut an album and people buy it, and I'm sure that they share the album with their friends, and you play the song with a friend, or you know. But when you make that publicly available for free, that's the problem.
So that's what the Napster thing was.
That's essentially what the Napster thing was. Metallica and Phil Hendry and anybody in between is not saying, you may not share my stuff. I didn't say that. You can download my stuff and share with a friend. What you can't do is take it and put it on a public file sharing site and say, here, anybody, even though I don't know you, here, have fun with this. It's Phil's stuff. And look at this. It's free. And we, you know.
Well, nobody goes we.
Yeah, you're right, bud. Nobody goes we.
Billy might.
Yeah, they might, yeah.
But I don't think they would.
Okay, fine. They may say we and they may not. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Whee!
Truth is our bitch. That's Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I think we is the truth.
We!
We!
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We've had some notable passings. Ed Koch, the mayor of New York, former mayor of New York. Ed Koch has died. He was, I think he was in his 90s, 88. He died of congestive heart failure.
Now, who's he?
He was a former mayor of New York.
That like,
is that Giuliani?
No.
It's Ed Koch. Why would it be Giuliani?
Well, you said a mayor of New York.
They had more than one mayor, man, okay?
The what?
They had more than one mayor. Ed Koch was the mayor. He was the mayor of New York from the late 1970s, from 78 to 1989. Three terms, 12 years.
No, wait. That's a let.
But just trust me. 12 years, yes, I know it looks like 11. He helped New York climb out of its financial crisis through tough fiscal policies and razor-sharp budget cuts, and subway service improved enormously. To much of the rest of America, the bald, paunchy Koch became the embodiment of the brash, irrepressible New Yorker. He was quick with a quip or a put-down, and when he got excited or indignant, which was often, his voice became high-pitched. He dismissed his critics as wackos, feuded with Donald Trump, called him Piggy, and a fellow former mayor Rudolph Giuliani, a nasty man, lambasted the Reverend Jesse Jackson and once reduced the head of the city council to tears. You punch me, I punch back, Koch once observed. I do not believe it's good for one's self-respect to be a punching bag. So I'd rather you be the punching bag.
Yeah, well, that's about as confusing as...
Well, take it easy, Margaret. He was a Democrat, but he was, kind of an old-school Democrat.
Well, what do you mean, take it easy, Margaret? He was a Democrat. Does that make him a progressive? That's what I am, a progressive. This idea of Democrat, 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 Republican, I don't care about that. I am a progressive. All right?
Yeah, sure. Don't look at me like you're about ready to stick a knife in me.
Just watch it.
Hey!
Hey, watch it. Tell him watch it.
Back off. You guys start... Don't step to me like that.
Margaret, you can't look at a guy and go, hey... You know.
Yeah, look, Margaret, look like you're going to step to him.
Don't step to me.
Whatever. Or, as he put it in Mare, his best-selling autobiography, I'm not the type to get ulcers, I give them.
Yeah!
I like that. Koch's favorite moment as mayor, fittingly, involved yelling during a transit strike that brought the subways and buses to a halt in the year of our Lord, 1980. He strode down to the Brooklyn Bridge to boost the spirit of commuters who had to walk to work. I began to yell, walk over the bridge, walk over the bridge. We're not going to let those bastards bring us to our knees. And people began to applaud, he recalled. New Yorkers, though, eventually tired of Mayor Koch. Homelessness and AIDS soared in the 1980s, and critics charged that City Hall's response was too little too late. Koch's latter years in office were also marked by scandals involving those around him and rising racial tension. In 1989, he lost a bid for a fourth term to David Dinkins, who became the city's first black mayor. On Friday, Dinkins called Koch a feisty guy who'd tell you what he thinks. Ed was a guy to whom I could turn to if I wanted a straight answer, he told Fox 5.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, what he says is that I want a straight answer. Well, you lousy, stinking...
Yeah, N-word.
Don't say that.
I didn't say it. Said N-word.
He never called David Dinkins the N-word.
Well, you don't know. I mean when they were relaxing.
Probably when they were relaxing, yeah.
What do you mean when they were relaxing?
Yeah, what does that mean?
They're probably having a cocktail or something.
Don't mayors get together and have cocktails together or something like that? That's a very good point, bud. I like that point. Don't they get...
Thank you, Miss Gray.
You're welcome. Don't they get together and have cocktails?
I don't know.
Well, what do you mean you don't know?
They'll probably get together and have a cocktail.
Yeah.
Okay, then they get together and they have cocktails. What about it?
Well, that's when they let their hair down. And that's when Mayor Koch probably said to this Dinkins, well, you cheap-crawling N-word.
Oh, that's right, Margaret, when they're just sitting around and relaxing.
Well, I don't know.
Ms. Gray, I can assure you that did not happen.
All right, Robert, well, I'm waiting for you to weigh in since you're the only black person that we have here.
Yes, and Margaret, we didn't really need Robert to weigh in on that, because I could tell you that.
I don't know that you could say that for sure.
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, you're not really... You know?
Listen, no guy is going to sit around with another guy, one of them white, one of them black, having cocktails and relaxing, and say to the guy, why, you crawling N-word, sure. That's going to be a fist fight, okay?
If they're friends.
Who's friends with a guy like that? That's the whole point. Now, just, you know, back off, okay? You guy, I'm going to tell you something. No, Robert, you know, white people.
Hey, I've been saying that for years.
Sometimes I wonder. I mean, I'm white too, but I ain't that dumb. I mean, I may be white, but I'm not that stupid. All right, on Friday, Dinkins called Koch a feisty guy who would tell you what he thinks. Ed was a guy to whom I could turn to if I wanted a straight answer. And from that, you get that they sat around and relaxed and called each other names, huh?
Yeah, he probably called, Mayor Dinkins probably called Koch, what a heeb.
Will you shut up, man?
Oh, my God, how dare you?
Oh, yeah, but you like to say the N-word.
I didn't say N-word.
No, that's a good point. She didn't say N-word. But Bud said the heeb.
He got to say it.
Well, he's trying, he's quoting you. Don't you ever do that again.
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Don't you ever use that word again.
I didn't say anything.
Anyway, Mayor Michael Bloomberg saluted Koch as a civic savior for our city in desperate times, saying the whole city was crumbling. Boy, I'll tell you, New York back then. I remember when the mayor at the time, Abe, I forget his name now.
Not Abe Lincoln.
Why would it be Abe Lincoln?
You said Abe. Are you talking about...
Talking about the president?
I just said the mayor of New York before Koch. I didn't say that. The mayor of New York was Abe something, and he went to Washington and asked for federal aid for New York City, and they turned him down. I think they turned him down. But he did make a very good statement. He made a statement. That I'll never forget the hearings for that, because he said... I'm simply asking for people what the government is willing to do for corporations.
That is a very profound statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't do him any good.
I don't know. I really don't know what that gentleman's success was, but I thought it was I thought he was right. Nonetheless, I'm sure that what he got was what we gave Ford. You know, here's the thing. If you say something like that, which at the time I thought was a very true statement, he said, I'm asking for people what the government does for corporations. But there's another side to that. The corporation is held accountable for the financial success. Those guys that went to Washington in their jets were quickly brought to heel. I mean, they were publicly lambasted and humiliated for those jets, and they wound up, I don't know what the hell they did, taking the train or flying commercial or something. They come to Washington, D.C., and they were called on the carpet. You clowns, you guys couldn't run a freaking lemonade stand. What the hell makes you think we're going to give you money for your car companies, right? And I suppose if you're going to tell guys that run corporations that, you're going to have to tell a mayor that.
Well, they told that mayor that long before they told those corporation guys any of the similar things.
Well, that's true.
Yes, I mean, they got around to telling the corporation guys that in 2000, whatever it was.
In 2001.
No, it wasn't 2000. It was 2004.
No, it was right when Obama got elected, 2008.
Yes, 2008. But they didn't say that to the mayor. Oh, I forget.
Yeah, I do too. You guys took so long over that freaking... All right, in any event, so former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton remembered Koch as a fierce advocate for his city and a friend whose convictions ran deep. The Clintons called Koch... As a man, recalled Koch as a man with a personality big enough to match the city's largest, the nation's largest city. They call him a leader who still... Oh, I can't read this. Anyway, you get the general idea. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. One other major personality has passed on, and we'll tell you about him. And the son of a very wealthy man is going to prison and other really cool stuff. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Mayor Koch, right?
That's the guy that just died.
Well, who's Barney the dog?
That's another guy that died.
You ain't talked about it.
Phil Hendry.
Messing with the camera. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and online at philhendryshow.com. So, yeah, New York, in my opinion, is a much better city today than it was back then. Abe Beam. Thank you, Dan Northcraft. That was the name of the mayor back then.
Abe Beam.
Yeah, not Bean, Beam.
How are you spelling that?
B-E-A-M as in Mary, E.
That's not Bean, that's Beam.
Bean.
Not Bean. Why did I spell it out for you?
Oh, you said N as in Mary.
I didn't say N as in Mary. I said M as in Mary.
I thought I heard different, too.
Right, what are you guys doing?
Writing it down.
You give it to me again.
I'm going to give it to you one more time, and then this right hand's going to start to talk.
Oh, I didn't know what you said.
Bud, you knew full well. B-E-A-M as in Mary, E.
Beam.
Beam, yes.
That's what I thought he said, man. I'd say Bean.
This jackass said Bean.
Boop.
Don't do it. Don't do it, man. Don't do it, bud. Save yourself.
I didn't say nothing other than when you said Abe and Ms. Gray said Lincoln, I thought you were talking about the president of America.
Yeah, even though I was talking about New York City?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is, now you know that when I was talking about New York City, it would be highly unlikely that I would be talking about Abraham Lincoln. I'm talking about New York City, the mayor, Abe Beam. Now, the city back then of New York, you know, as I was just saying to our good friend, Mr. Northcraft, you know, some people have nostalgia for New York back in the day when Times Square was full of junkies and hookers and this kind of underground, so-called bohemian. I wouldn't call that bohemian. That's just, you know, that's just straight up criminal life, you know, thug life. It's the scoff law. Some people say that they miss that New York. That's great. Those cannot possibly be people that were working and living in New York at that time, or at least having to work in New York at that time. I don't think anybody that had to deal with that misses it. I think that's a lot of out-of-town people who like to come off like they're New Yorkers. Oh, yeah, New York. I remember they had such colorful characters.
Well, I agree. I think those are people that are from, you know, from Los Angeles or San Francisco.
Oh, here we go with the pronunciation.
Yes, here we go. San Francisco.
Okay, is that the French?
Yes.
Well, so point being that New York is a way better city now. Now, if I say to somebody, I like New York today, I like the idea that when we were in New York and Chris and Catherine were 11 and 9 years of age, little kids, and it was 11 o'clock at night, and they said, we want to go get some pizza, and they went out into Times Square of New York to get pizza, and you didn't worry about them. You don't worry about them. Because that's what Times Square is today. You can send a little, your kids can go out there on a Saturday night or a Friday night and get pizza at 11 o'clock at night, and you don't worry about the safety of those children. Now, am I supposed to say that's not as good as the way New York used to be? Maybe. Maybe, you know, if I was only thinking of myself and I thought it was so colorful that they have junkies and drug dealers and people getting mugged and, yes, occasionally raped, if I think that that's colorful and that's the real New York, I got to tell you, you know, there was a time when New York City was not a cesspool like it was in the 70s.
Yeah, that's back when they had only Dutch people.
Exactly. I mean, you can, you know, there's always, when you say that, well, New York was really a fantastic city the way it used to be. What are you talking about? When the Dutch were planting peach trees?
Well, Phil, that wasn't a city. That was called New Amsterdam.
Yeah, technically that wasn't New York.
So what are you trying to tell me? When they started calling it New York, suddenly went to hell in a handcart?
That's probably when they started to get pimps and pushers.
When they started to call it New York, sometime around whenever the hell it was, the 18th century, was it?
Well, I don't know, Phil, but I think that the pimp and the pusher, while a negative personality type, there's no question, but your pimp and your pusher give New York a colorful reputation for this bawdy, rapscallion, scofflaw, as you mentioned, personality that if you think of Guys and Dolls, oh my God, Guys and Dolls, that's the New York with the bawdy reputation, you see?
Guys and Dolls is one thing. Rape is something else.
I didn't say rape, and you don't know.
How do you know? Didn't they get raped in Guys and Dolls?
Wasn't there a rape in Guys and Dolls?
No, not that I know of, no.
Bill, rape and Guys, what's Guys and Dolls?
Guys and Dolls was a Damon Runyon-esque. You know who Damon Runyon-esque was?
It's not Damon Runyon-esque. It was Damon Runyon. Yes, I do.
I wasn't talking to you. I'm asking Robert. Do you know who he was?
No, I don't.
Damon Runyon was well, who was he, Phil? I don't want to get bogged down.
Damon Runyon was a writer, a famous sports writer at the time in New York, had a very colorful kind of writing style. It develops that, and he had a lot of New York ways of saying things. And Guys and Dolls, I think, was written by him or based on him.
Well, what's Guy and Doll about?
Yeah, what was it?
It was a musical. It was a very popular musical that had, it was about those guys. Got cats that were gamblers and guys that hung around the bars and the saloons and played dice and, you know, and were always hustling and always at the track betting. And it's a very, you know, that was what it was.
And the song that I, Luck Be a Lady, tonight, 2, 3, 4, because I remember I was in the chorus line for that when it played the Avante Theater, which at that time was on 34th, and then it moved up to 41st, and then moved back down to 2D2, or that, I always call it 2D2.
22nd?
22nd, but in those days, 22nd wasn't 22nd, it was Herbivore. Am I right about that, or am I thinking of Kansas City? Where is Herbivore?
I don't know where Herbivore is. I thought that was something that eats only...
Don't piss me off, Phil. Where is Herbivore Avenue?
I don't know where Herbivore Avenue is. I thought it was something that...
All right, before I assault you with the knitting needle that I have in my purse, I'm getting up...
Margaret, don't talk that way.
I'm leaving.
Great.
Where is Herbivore?
No, I'm going to sit back down. I just want to... I want to ask this, but don't look at me like I'm a pervert.
I'm not looking at it that way. I'm scared of you when you said you got a knitting needle in there.
Oh, my God. When you said I've got a knitting needle in there, you looked between my legs.
Margaret, will you grow the hell up? No, I didn't. My eyes were casting around in fear.
You went, do you have a knitting needle in there? And your eyes went right down.
No, they didn't.
But what are you talking about Herbivore?
22nd Street in New York used to be called Herbal Lane or something like that. Anyway, there was a theater there called the Avante. The Avante had moved up from 6th Street. Not 6th, I'm sorry. From 6th Avenue, moved over to Broadway, then it moved uptown, and then it moved to, I think...
How many times did this theater move?
A couple of, I don't know, Phil, but I was in the Guys and Dolls, and I was in the chorus, and I remember that time, it was Guy Van Dressler, that's who it was, he was starring with Vanessa Okren. And, oh, my God, we ran for weeks. We ran for, I don't know how many times we ran.
Where are you running from?
Are you trying to be funny?
Hey, watch it.
What do you mean, what was I running from?
You said you ran.
It's what they call plays, okay?
But I remember, count it, it's 2, 3, and then we did heel, click, then the butt goes up in the air, we wiggle our butt, and then luck be a lady, tonight, 2, 3, and... Do 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 tonight, and then we twirl. Do 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 do. Luck be a lady tonight, and then I would fall. I would roll. We did a somersault, 3 rolls, another somersault,
another spring roll,
another spring.
All right, hey.
I'll kill it.
Get away from me.
Let him just go. Let him go.
What you talking about that?
I don't know.
Ow!
Yeah. But I did it.
Margaret, one of these days he's going to charge you with assault.
No, I'll charge him with... What do you mean he's charging me with assault?
You chased him out of the room, didn't you?
When I said we did a somersault and a roll, and he says spring roll, that is provocative.
Low fat?
I beg your pardon?
Low fat?
Spring rolls are not low fat. They're deep...
Hey!
Tell me what? How to cook?
I don't understand. So anyway, that's very nice about the whole, you know, we were talking about New York and how New York, in my opinion, is a much better place today than it was in those days. But then, you know, every city goes through. And as I was saying to Dan, it would be like me pining away for the old days of L.A. You know, boy, I'll tell you, L.A. today, man, it wasn't like it was when Manson was running around carving people up. But
yeah, without Manson, man, I mean, you ain't going to go over there, are you?
I don't know, man. If I lived in that neighborhood, I'm going to sit there and say, boy, I'll tell you, you know, back in the day, Benedict Canyon was a lot of laughs, man, hearing people screaming and getting knifed. Now it's boring.
What about in 10?
What?
What about in 10? You ever see 10?
Yeah, I saw 10. What about it?
The Dudley Moore had a house. I think he had a house in Benedict Canyon. And anyway, he had a telescope. And he looked at a telescope, looking across, and saw, man, everybody's nude. That's the one thing he was able to verify. Everyone nude.
That was the one thing he was able to verify, huh?
Yeah, look at the telescope.
I remember in 10 when he looked in the telescope and everybody was nude. What's that got to do with Benedict Canyon?
That was Benedict Canyon.
Well, I don't know if it was or not, but if it was Benedict Canyon...
That like a good place to live.
Yeah, a good place to live when Dudley Moore had his telescope, not a good place to live when Manson was crawling around there. All this nostalgia, man. You know, the thing about nostalgia, it's very selective. I love that. People want to go back to this period and that period and this... Oh, God, it was so great. Yeah, huh? Sure it was, man. If you go back and take a good, long, hard look at the actual era that you're talking about, I guarantee you, you want nothing to do with it. You want nothing to do with it because the past, folks, is not as good as the present. In America. In America. Maybe in Nazi Germany or wherever the hell. In America, the past is never as good as the present or the future. That's why we love our country. Or at least I love my country, because I know this country, the future, I mean, I'll tell you what, as good as things may be now, and I know that people are all upset because we're in a recession, yada, 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 yada. Hey, like I said, man, there was a time in this country when recession meant people were starving to death, laying in the street dead, you know. But in this country, man, the future is way better than the past. Thank you.
Sound like you better go to sleep.
I'm going to sleep in about 20 minutes. We'll take a break. Final segment of the Phil Henry Show coming up. Don't forget, tomorrow we have our podcast as well as our on-demand video of tonight's show. Check it out at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah.
The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So the weekend is ahead. Let me just give you a heads up. Be checking our website because once we are able to establish our live streaming, we're going to have Sunday football with Phil. Join us Pacific time for the start of the Super Bowl. I will be here in studio. We'll have the Super Bowl on. We will have the shot glasses lined up. We will be imbibing. We will be doing our color commentary as only we can. Robert, you'll be here, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a color commentary and Bud Dickman, too.
I want to do it, too.
What about you, Margaret?
Well, I don't know a thing about football. If you want me here, I'll be here, but I'm going to be very honest. I'm going to be brutally honest about what I see.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean, what does it mean?
Are you going to ruin our experience? This is a joyous, fun thing.
Oh, sure. Sure, it's a joyous and fun thing. Until a man gets his neck snapped and is not mobile for the rest of his life. Until he's wheeling around in an iron lung and they go, oh, there goes Joe Blow. He was a great wide tackle or something for the Detroit Bears.
Not the Detroit Bears.
Yeah, the Detroit Lions.
I don't care.
Well, that's a really marvelous way of looking at things. Thank you very much for uplifting us. And
Phil, I'm here to tell some truth. You want to watch a football game, you have yourself a real good time. But I'll tell you, I'm not going to sit around and watch some man land on his head. And so he walks off the field and he sits down and they say to him, are you all right? And suddenly he sounds mush mouth like he's a caveman.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
Margaret, I know that the concussion thing is a great concern to a great many people.
Well, it's a concern to a mother whose young son is now talking about wanting to play football.
Of course he's going to talk about that. Of course he is.
Don't you think it scares me?
Well, no, it shouldn't scare you. It shouldn't scare you. Talk to the coaches. Talk to the guys that are going to be running the team. Take a look at the equipment. I know that Jason J. Delmonico goes to a good school, doesn't he?
Yes, he most certainly does go to a good school. They have the money for the equipment.
Well, then don't worry about it. They're going to have good equipment, good coaches, And they start the kids out very slow. Let me tell you something. They don't start kids out with the big, you know, hey, throwing the ball 50 yards, this, that. These kids start slow. They start very basic. They learn how to tackle. They learn how to block. That, you know, I would not worry if I were you.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say, Phil, until your son comes off a football field and starts talking like Lou Ferrigno.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know what it means.
Is he deaf?
No, I mean the concussion has caused your son to start talking like Lou Ferrigno.
So you mean so he got a concussion going, duh, duh, duh.
Yes. Oh, they're laughing now.
Well, I mean, Ms. Gray, Lou Ferrigno, I can understand him.
Oh, yeah. What if your son came off the field after getting hit in the head and he started talking like Debbie Daly?
I can't remember. Debbie Daly is, she's hearing impaired, all right?
Yes.
So you're saying that my son would be deaf?
Are you listening? Are you listening to me, Phil? I'm saying...
You're saying that Debbie Daly, if he talked like Debbie Daly, meaning that... Get Debbie Daly on the phone. Is she home?
I don't know. What makes you think I'd know?
I thought you were, like, all in love with her and stuff.
I'm not in love with Debbie Daly. Not anymore. I've got a girlfriend now.
Oh, not anymore?
Where do you think she is?
I don't know. Go to the... Call that bar she hangs out in.
Debbie Daly doesn't hang out in a bar, for God's sake. She's a broadcaster, and she's got a show to do tomorrow morning. And I can tell you that...
You got her on the line.
Debbie.
Hey, Debbie, how you doing?
Good, good, Debbie. Where are you? You're having a taste?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we just wanted to talk to you for a minute for something that we're talking about something. So, how you doing? And you're in the bar and you're having a taste. What are you drinking?
That's the White Russian. You got yourself some milk in there. You got, vodka.
You're having a White Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody there with you? Millie and Tony, and Tony's over playing pinball, huh? They still got a pinball in that joint? Where are you? You're over at Scrooge's, and you're going over to Blue later on. Where? What street's that on?
What, are you reading a book?
No, I'm not writing a book. What street's it on? Why don't I come over, hang out, and take a videotape? It lasts longer. That's an upgrade of the old joke, huh? No, I don't have anything more.
Well,
anyway.
So, do you want your son coming off a football field and sounding like that?
No, I don't, and I don't think he will.
A concussion will cause that.
That's not why she talks that way.
I know why she talks that way. I won't have Jason J. Delmonico coming off a football field and going...
But what's he going to do that for?
Oh, my God, if I've got to repeat myself one more time, I'm going to get violent.
A concussion, Bud. Margaret's afraid that her son will get a concussion. Like a lot of people are getting concussions in football. Have you been hearing the stories?
Yeah, I've been hearing the stories. I've been following football for a long time all about it. And I know everything there is. The guys get concussions? Okay, easy come, easy go. It's a tough, violent game. Football. You're going to get a concussion? A lot of stuff. A busted leg, a busted skull, your jaw gets ripped off and shoved in your eye socket, and all this stuff.
All right, we get it, okay?
Yeah.
It is. It's a violent game, Miss Gray. A violent, tough game. And if your son, Jason J. Delmonico, come off a football field...
Worse yet, what if he sounded like you, Robert?
Well, what do you mean, what if he sounded like me?
If my son comes off of that football field, Phil, and I go, how are you, darling? And he goes, yee-yee-yee-yee. My God, I'll sue you.
I don't think he will. I think he's going to be fine. I really do. World famous Phil Henry Show. So, Sunday, we are on schedule to have here on PhilHenryShow.com, to have on our videocast, at least, on Sunday. We're on schedule to have, as Margaret would say, Sunday Football with Phil. So join us for that on Sunday at PhilHenryShow.com. The Phil Henry Show is produced by our good friend Dan Northcraft. And what happened to the DDR, man? By our good friend Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. And, of course, join us online at philhenryshow.com for all of those marvelous things I was talking about, the backstage pass,
so on and so forth.
Until Monday at 10 Pacific time. This is Phil Henry saying, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.